Good day, homies. Welcome or welcome back. I'm Liz. I like to ramble about all things spooky and your favorite horror movies. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Let's get into the scares. When I think Texas Chainsaw Massacre, I think of dusty, chicken feathers, grindhouse soundtrack, and that camera shutter sound effect that just makes my hair stand on end. You cinephiles know that sound effect I'm talking about. That one from the opening credits where it looks like they're taking crime scene photos, and every click of the camera emits that horrendous pull of the strings of an out-of-tune violin. I'm not sure if that's actually what the sound effect is, so don't quote me on that. That's just what I've always envisioned in my head. The point is, when I think of Texas Chainsaw, I think of this whole desert 70s aesthetics. You know, Texas. So when I heard Netflix was making a Texas Chainsaw and it was already out, kind of out of nowhere, I immediately jumped onto YouTube to watch the commercial. I'm not the biggest Texas Chainsaw fan, just because raw violence isn't the first thing I look for in my horror. That tends to be the number one thing in a Texas Chainsaw movie, the raw grindhouse violence. When the commercial started, for a moment I thought I was watching the Halloween Kills commercial. That was my first thought. My second thought was, wow, this movie is so dark, if something scary was happening, I wouldn't know it. I thought maybe I was being too skeptical. After watching so many horror movies on a constant basis, sometimes the little details all start to blend together. Like the fact the sheriff in the movie is Laurie Strode's twin, both physically and in personality. And the sheriff is being the lone survivor from the original attack, and her being the main protagonist. But I digress. I tried to go into this movie with an open mind. The original was as unnerving as it was disturbing. This just looked like an excuse to be a gory horror movie. I kind of want to take a moment and point out, Leatherface was a protector. The only reason he ever killed those teens originally was because they invaded his home. He only ever killed or tortured was at the command of another one of his family members. He's sort of this end product of a fucked up upbringing and an abused child with an identity disorder. I fall back to my Halloween critique, but they make it look like he's this just mastermind that loves killing for the hell of it when all he wanted and was taught was to protect his family. Unsurprisingly, the movie opens up 50 years after Leatherface's killing spree in 1973. Some young entrepreneurs are traveling to Texas to start a cult in a small ghost town. I have to admit, I wasn't expecting the original reason for the young adults to come to Texas was to be starting a cult, but that's exactly what it was. While exploring the abandoned buildings, they find an elderly woman claiming to still live on her own in the small house. I was pretty shocked how quickly the kids are willing to throw down with the elderly lady on an oxygen tank. The argument is broken up by a silent, towering man standing at the top of the stairs. You can probably guess who. The old woman then collapses from a heart attack and is rushed to the hospital, accompanied by one of the teens, Ruth, and the towering man. A bus of investors arrives in town, keeping Melody and Dante distracted. Meanwhile, Lila strikes up a friendship with the local mechanic, Richter. She reveals she is the survivor of a school shooting, leaving her terrified of guns. I can't wait for that to come in later. I feel like this movie could have at least been fun if the director had an idea of the direction he wanted to go. Or maybe if he had watched the original or showed some appreciation for it. In 83 minutes, there is so much subplot, backstory, and characters packed in, and none of it is essential. Slipping into some spoilers, I have to start with some bad news, guys. The old woman dies en route to the hospital. Ruth manages to text Melody before the man goes berserk and murders the two officers, leading the ambulance to crash. When Ruth awakens, she witnesses Leatherface cutting off the old woman's face to wear as a mask. Ruth radios for help before being killed by Leatherface. Back in Harlow, Melody sees the text from Ruth about the old woman dying. She freaks out. getting her younger sister Lila and preparing to leave before Richter confiscates their keys. Turns out he overheard about the old woman dying and won't return the keys until they can prove they have the deed to the house. The old woman claimed she still owned it. More bad news, guys. Dante can't find it, and apparently taking the keys back isn't an option. Melody and Dante return to the home in an attempt to try and find the deed to the house, leaving Lila in the bus. Incoming Sally Hansley, the sole survivor of the Leatherface initial attack in 1973. Now turned battle-hardened ranger. She learns of Ruth's attack and heads out to investigate. At the abandoned home, Melody discovers the old woman was wrongfully evicted. Leatherface arrives right on time and attacks Dante. Melody hides, and Leatherface retrieves his chainsaw from the bedroom. Dante manages to stagger out of the orphanage, where he is discovered by Richter, who probably feels like a big dummy at this point, when Dante quickly bleeds to death. Richter then decides the best idea is to enter the home and is promptly killed by Leatherface. Now suddenly able to, Melody retrieves the car keys from his body before reuniting with Lila on the bus with all the other investors. I'm not sure why they thought a bus would stop him, but Leatherface quickly boards and begins slaughtering everyone in sight. Melody and Lila escape the carnage and run into Sally, who locks them in her car before entering the house to finally confront Leatherface. She holds him at gunpoint, demanding he remembers the pain he inflicted on her and her friends as though he gives a fuck. He completely ignores her and walks away. That part is pretty unintentionally funny. He then attacks the sisters in the car, which I love that Sally, gun drawn, allows him to do that. She just watches him do it. However, they are saved by Sally, who shoots him. Sally gives Melody the keys to drive away before pursuing Leatherface. He ambushes and fatally wounds Sally before Melody runs down Leatherface in Sally's car. She proceeds to crash it into a building, and Melody was trapped. Leatherface jumps up, and Melody apologizes for the death of the old woman. Lila attempts to shoot him, but her gun is empty. Sally shoots him instead, and he flees yet again. I'm sensing a pattern here. I hope no one gets ambushed. Lila takes Sally's shotgun and follows Leatherface, where she is ambushed. Don't worry, though. Melody is suddenly unstuck and arrives to take Leatherface's chainsaw before using it to uppercut him. He falls into a pool of water where he sinks quickly to the bottom. They escape, and Lila finds Sally's hat. She puts it on before starting to drive. Why did she put on a dead lady's hat, you might ask? That's an excellent question, I might add. Pretty weird, Lila. Bad news, guys. Leatherface emerges, still alive, and drags Melody out of the car before decapitating her with his motherfucking chainsaw. Lila watches horrified as a self-driving car takes her out of Harlow. Then the one scene we were all waiting for, Leatherface dancing on the street with his chainsaw, and now Melody's head. I give it 1 out of 5 dead armadillos. Until we can get a new take on this franchise that isn't the same sputtering chainsaw with double the blood, the same question will have to be asked. Did we need another one?
Thanks so much for taking the time to listen. You guys are all my homies, and the support means the world to me. Stay safe out there, my spooky friends. Be well.